yo, yo, ladies and gents, welcome back to Aid Thompson and Other Disappointments with me, your host, Aid Thompson. What's up? Cheers. It's a Friday night. We are jumping straight into it this evening, aren't we? If you're in the live chat, do say hello. Drop me a booge if you're so inclined. Drop us a binfluencer if you share our downbeat, psychologically beaten sensibilities. I've been getting a few comments recently on like some of the like the paper reviews and podcast clips and stuff, where people say like I missed the booge thing, Aid. You know, what even is that? But like, why does it say booge on everything? I don't understand what that is. What, like, explain it to me, please. So, for the benefit of the newer viewers, newer listeners, of which I'm delighted to say there are many, many joining us for every paper review, every podcast. Booge was a reference about 100 episodes ago now, it must have been. About like 100, maybe more than that, in fact. It was a reference for the sort of the premium tier of podcasting. I think I was in Thailand for a holiday. At the time, I was doing a solo episode of the show back in the days before I did like all of the actual proper, like I didn't really have any cameras. I was just like recording it into my phone. And I was laughing at how, because of a clever metaphor, or I thought it was quite clever anyway, it was sort of half passable, like a witty metaphor. And so off the back of this one like clever metaphor, I was then saying, oh, I saw myself as a paid up member of the bourgeoisie tier of political podcasts. But also that because I'm from a council estate background, of which I'm quite proud, you know, what's up, my council peeps? Because of my background, it's still like it felt a bit pretentious saying bourgeoisie. So if it was me, like I'd probably have to shorten it to booge, was like basically what I was saying. Like, this is proper booge, mate, you know, that sort of thing. So that's what it is. There you go. Consider yourselves very much in the loop on this most important of political issues. Booge. Nice big booge in the chat there from Kerry Dodd. You know, it may not be the most cleverest, most on-point political show in the entire universe, but it does, one of its strengths is it does occasionally contribute terminology to the lexicon. It does. I do that. Because, like, what have we had? We've had booge, haven't we? We've got binfluencer as well, which is, you know, again, if you're a newer listener, you might not know what that's all about. A binfluencer is sort of like you build up a modest following kind of thing, you know, but you still exist in a social media world where most Instagram and TikTok faces are babbling about how to live your best life and self-improvement and gym and wellness and nutrition, you know, like broadly positive content is what most influencers are, isn't it? From insufferably beautiful people. It's inspiration and influencers. And whereas on this show, we are binfluencers, guys, which is the polar opposite. It's like, it's where, what do we do on this show? We lift up the curtain and instead of you seeing, you know, an Instagram snap or a YouTube clip of what, like a healthy salad or me reciting a Buddhist empowerment mantra or something, what do? We expose you to the pain, hurt, tar and filth of modern life. That's what we do. And then we shrug and we go, yeah, it's pretty awful, isn't it? You want a drink? So there's booge, there's binfluencers, there's Nonceburger. There's Nonceburger, which, you know, obviously means paedophile, right? Nonceburger, which is, you know, that word, that might be the one I'm most proud of. because it is very much like looking at Rishi Sunak standing in front of his colossal current account, right? In the sense that, like, I don't know why it works, but it does. Boom! You see? That is why we're in the proper booge tier here, because we can talk about the words that we've contributed to the linguistical zeitgeist, and while we appraise them, even in that analysis, guys, you get a very transferable metaphor. You know? Because Nonsberger, right, I promise we'll get onto some politics in a minute, after I finished patting myself on the back. Nonsberger is a word that doesn't really make sense, does it? You know, Nonsberger. It's satisfying to say, like, phonetically, it sings off the lips. Yeah, Nonsberger. Like, it's contemptuous the way it lands. It's satisfying to say when you're describing, you know, a Prince Andrew or an R. Kelly. But it shouldn't work. And also, you know, I'm sure I don't need to explain this to you, but Rishi Sunak, with his gilded, plum-gargling existence, also shouldn't work. Because he's very wealthy. So neither of them should work, but they do. Do you understand what I'm saying? God, I'm wasted here. So yes, anyway, booge, binfluencers, and Nonsbergers are our terminology that we've contributed to the political conversation over the last 3 years. We are lovers of language around these parts, guys. Anyway, hell of an intro, right? Big doff of the cap to everybody in the chat tonight. What's up to Stuart? What's up to Kerry Dodd? Sarah Setters is in the house. What's up, Sarah? What's up to Mojo Sabian? T-Rex is in. Seeing lots of familiar names, familiar faces there. Really enjoying doing these like live shows now. I used to find them quite daunting, but now I'm sort of, you know, really getting into them. I'm feeling the chat, feeling the dearest of cult members, the dearest Binfluencer tribe that join me every Friday night. I'm going to ask a question, actually, for the chat tonight. It's a question for the show. And we're going to come back to it periodically to look at your answers and read out the best. And obviously, you know, some priority will be afforded to the Patreons and the YouTube community members. Or to Super Chats, you know, if you want to drop me a little Super Chat. What's up to Encore Une Fois also, just dropped in. And Tracy Birch, how you guys doing? Richard Marsden. And Blue Badger's back in the house as well. But yeah, if you're a Patreon or a YouTube community member or you want to drop me a Super Chat, that's always welcome. And I will prioritise those comments accordingly. My question for the live chat tonight. Well, we actually have two questions for you guys, sort of. One is a sort of favour, really. The second is the show's question, if you like. So the first thing, right, we're going to do, right, here I have my Twitter, you will see. Here I have my Twitter. And I thought it might be quite funny because there's a fair few of you tuning in now to these Friday night shows. Like every Friday, 7:30, if you're new to the stream, this is what I do. Every Friday night, 7:30. I mean, I don't know what that says about the mental health of the United Kingdom at the moment. You know, that those of us who are into news and politics, you know, that a show whose USP is basically, you know, there's no hope, everything is fucked, now drink with me, that a show like that is gathering momentum. What does that say about the state of the UK's mental health? I don't know. But there's a fair few of you. We're in the hundreds most weeks now. And that's just for the live bit, you know. And then it disappears onto Patreon. And then 2 days later, it comes out to everyone back on YouTube, Spotify, Apple. And then there's hundreds more, right? But for the live shows, I thought, right, for the Binfluencer Massive who show up every week, what if we took another contribution to the lexicon, guys, and got it trending on Twitter. Okay? What if we did that? Do you think that would be possible, live chat? Do we think that maybe we might be up for trying this tonight? Because there could be a couple of hundred of us watching this, or like immediately watching it on the replay or something. Because going out is really expensive now. I mean, that's really what this comes down to, isn't it? Dear viewers, dear listeners, is for a few hundred people, every Friday night, now, they're here, going like, well, I used to be cool. You know, I used to go out. I used to go to hipster bars and hang out with the bassist from Skunk Anansie and go to after parties at Highbury Garage and take coke until 5 o'clock in the morning and talk shit in some stranger's kitchen. You know, but sluggish wage growth and 2 years of inflation and the mortgage is exploding, it's got me broke. So these days, my social life is drinking over the internet with this big-eared, buck-toothed bellend in Hampshire. I'm positive that is the reason why many of us link up like this on a Friday night. But yes, anyway, what we're going to do tonight, get to the point, Thompson, is we've all got a tweet. I just want to see if this is possible. We've all got a tweet. If you've got a Twitter, get involved. We've all got to pop out a tweet in the next 10 or 15 minutes, right? And I'm going to keep a Chrome tab open and we'll see the tweets pop up, right, with the hashtag. I'll keep it on the thing. But you got to use the hashtag Tories fuck livestock, okay? Are you ready? Because like, I really think this could be possible that it might trend. I don't know what sort of like refinement or like moderation they put into the trends logic and code or whatever, but I've seen rude words in there before, you know? And if 200 of us get involved, I mean, 200 isn't nothing, is it? So it's possible. I mean, 200 is like 15 reform rallies. Like, so let's see what we can do, right? Let's see if we can do this. I don't care what it says in the tweet, just as long as it says hashtag Tories fuck livestock. It can be something about Michael Gove tripping out in the Commons the other day. It could be something about the election that may or may not get called on Monday now. Maybe something about the employment prospects of one Leanderthal. Don't know if you saw his polling this week. He's on course to get kicked out of Ashfield. He's the MP for Ashfield. He defected from the Tories to Reform. But neither the Tories or Reform are polling well there. Labour are on course to take it again, back from the Tories. And I saw him on Twitter earlier after having posted what looked like, I'm not going to say it definitely was a fake poll, but it looked like he had just drawn it up on Google Sheets and found the graph feature. I was like, hey, look, I could do Google Sheets too. And then I did a thing about, you know, actually, weirdly, about Tories fucking livestock, like a graph of what they like to do in their spare time sort of thing. I came up with this theory as well that I was like, congratulations on being the first Tory who can actually work out how to use technology, because this is amazing. Like, my theory is that they keep all the Tories technology dumb, like they don't know how to work tech, because if they did learn how to use technology, like if Lee Anderson's underpaid and overworked, exhausted parliamentary aide, whom he posted a picture of and said how much or how little he paid her, if she developed the technological skill set to operate Google Sheets and do VLOOKUPs, she'd just go and get a job at Barclays. Like, that's why they keep them dumb, guys. And yeah, so anyway, but this is polling this week. I don't know if you saw it. I was saying to him earlier, I was like, you know, all of this, I want my country back. I want my country back. I was like, give it a few weeks, mate. You're going to be saying, I want my job back. That is your future, son. So yeah, anyway, let's try and do this, shall we? One tweet. That's all I'm asking. Anything you like, you can say that you're tuned into the show, you can say you fucking hate Tories, you can say whatever you like. I'm going to post mine now. I've just said, what's up, everyone? It's Friday night and fuck me gently. Are we getting booge up in here? Hashtag Tories fuck livestock. So there we go. Tweeted. It's live, guys. Now, what was the next thing I was going to do? Let's get back to the chat, shall we? Oh, yeah, that's right. So the second question, right? Because it's all about community. It's all about let's have the conversation, right? Interactivity and all that. The question for you tonight, good people in the chat. Politically speaking, right? Politically speaking, it feels like everything's an emergency nowadays, doesn't it? We've got, you know, over in America, we've got Biden v. Trump. Feels like it could be, you know, if Trump gets back in, it could be the last days of the America project as we know it, right? We've got Labour v. Tories over here, which, you know, although I don't think it's particularly likely at the moment, if the Tories did get in for another 5 years, a lot of us think that that would probably be it for the NHS. You know, public services are already at breaking point, so schools would just crumble further. National insurance would be wound up, presumably. Rwanda might get expanded, depending on how radicalised and weird the Conservative Party became in the next parliament. If they won the GE, I wouldn't rule it out that they would start to talk about expanding the Rwanda policy to capture dissident voices as threats to national security. You know? All those lefties, oh, they're a bit dangerous. They're not working in the British interests. It would be stuff like that, right? I guess they might be worried that we might be the next pandemic, what with our Remainery woke mind virus and all of that stuff. So everything feels like we're in the third act of a political disaster movie now, doesn't it? So here is my question, live chat. Do you guys, dear listeners, do you guys think, honestly, there is a way back from all of this? Do you really, like, if you ask yourself, be honest with yourself, can you fathom and navigate mentally, psychologically, can you imagine a route out of all of this? Like, if Labour get in, right, which is probably going to happen, if Labour get in, do you think they're going to tackle tax avoidance? Do you think that'll happen? Like, will we actually live in a fair sort of fiscal and monetary framework? Do you think they'll fix the NHS? Like, actually fix it? Do you think they'll implement proportional representation? Do you think we'll actually get press regulation? Serious press reg? So we could actually inform people with sane news? Not this weird, salacious culture war nonsense. You know, the politainment thing. Do you think that's all of that is fixable? Or do you think, you know, as inflation is linked to raw materials and fossil fuels, that as these things get scarcer, either through, you know, us exhausting them, in the case of oil and, you know, plastic and steel and all that, or climate change, you know, scorching fields so you can no longer grow certain materials there. Do you think things will just actually get more and more expensive now? They'll get harder to source. And ultimately, society will continue to collapse, albeit at a glacial pace. You know, that is my question for you guys tonight. Is there a way back from the permanent disaster that we now seem to inhabit in the US and indeed in the formerly Great Britain here? Now, while I leave you with that, guys, I wanted to just quickly remind ourselves of some of the big news stories from this week, people. Because every week, right, I think to myself, it can't get any worse, can it? It can't get any worse, please. And every week, the Tories, or Trump, or Fox News, or gun-touting Americans, every week. They continue to outdo themselves. Such is their steadfast, almost impressive commitment to their cretiny. So here we go. This was this week. Just in case you had any desire to relive it. How damaged are we? Like, there's a question for you. How damaged are we on this show? Like, some people just get hit with some bad news, don't they? And then they shrug. And they go, like, oh, well, that was tough. Anyway, time to hang the washing up, right? Like, that's how some people handle bad things, bad news, bad developments and events. Like, do you ever stop and go, like, what is wrong with me? Like, why am I focusing so much of my time and attention on the atrocious events that took place this week? Like, it's happened already, Aid. It happened on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. You endured it. You've taken it already. We all endured it too, Aid. But now we've moved on. Now we've gone back to Love Island and researching our next holiday, Aid. Like, what sort of trauma happened to you to make you turn around and then go back into the same week you've just suffered? Returning to it like it's home. Please go and get a therapist, Aid. Anyway, this week. So, the week started with Rishi Sunak's sick note thing. I mean, so much happens in 1 week. Like, you could barely remember it, couldn't you? It's Rishi Sunak deciding that he was going to retract the ability of GPs to sign people off sick. So that's nice, isn't it? I mean, they say that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, don't they? About fathers and sons. But Monday, what we saw was a pharmacist's son, Rishi Sunak, rebelling against his father's desire to help the sick by suggesting that he personally will force them back to work. Which, I mean, like, I get it. I get it, Rish. The rebellion thing. Rebelling against your father. I totally get that. Like, my dad was a professional broadcaster for the BBC. He produced Household Names over at Radio 2. Meanwhile, here I am rebelling in my DIY studio, shouting hashtag Tories fuck livestock into a live chat of probably equally damaged individuals. So I understand the rebellion. I get it, Rish. I do. But here's the difference, chap. Here is the difference between you and I. I am not forcing sick people back to work. I am asking sick people to sign up for my Patreon. That is the difference, okay? I know it's not a lot better, but it's, you know, there is a dividing line there somewhere. Anyway, back to Monday. Monday was awash with talk of lazy dole scroungers, get them off of their universal credit, withdraw their sick notes. But what are we talking about, really? What is the actual idea? What is the actual policy here, Aid? Well, basically it's this, okay? It is, rather than addressing any of the underlying issues and reasons that might be causing people's stress, anxiety, and depression, the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, mused, well, that all seems rather roundabout, doesn't it? Trying to address their anxieties, trying to get them back to work through solving their problems. Oh, Lord, no. Lord, no. Why don't we just, why don't we just cancel their sickness? So, yeah, that was the plan, you know? I mean, I imagine probably the logic that he was going for was like, it'd be like a Rwanda all over again. It'd be just like Rwanda. Like, you remember when they said, this country isn't safe? And so then we passed a law that said, this is safe. Well, now when GPs have categorised these poor souls as too sick to work, we'll just say, but you're not. It's genius, isn't it? Absolute genius. I mean, it's sort of like a enforced rebrand, really, isn't it? So that was Sunday and Monday. Also, people were calling for the head of the Metropolitan Police to stand down, to quit his job, because a police officer stopped a Jewish guy from walking into a pro-Palestinian march. Everybody lost their shit, thinking this poor, sweet, innocent Jewish boy was just trying to get from A to B, you know, and then he got accosted by an agent of the state. And there were, you know, obviously connotations of Nazi Germany. And of course, the Jewish gentleman in question was very promptly on all your favourite news sofas the following day. You had newspapers calling for the chief's resignation. You had tabloids suggesting the government had lost all confidence in the chief of the Metropolitan Police. Before it turned out, you know, 24 hours later, on Tuesday, that the Jewish gentleman in question had been there for hours that day, going in and out of the protest, reportedly trying to provoke the reaction that he would then later rail against. I mean, like, just as a side note, guys, just as a little side note here, and a message to Gideon Falter, right, if you're watching, who was the individual in question. Even if the original thing hadn't been provoked or staged or whatever we want to call it, the whole thing is kind of moot anyway, you know, because nobody needs to convince us that the Metropolitan Police are racist. That is like, that is, Sherlock Holmes can very much close the case on that one. We know. Like, imagine for a second if you were a black guy. Imagine if you're a black guy that grew up in London, okay, and you've seen your mates stop and searched 1,000 times. You've read stories in the papers about dudes who look like you, you know, getting shot in the head while they waited in a car in a case of mistaken identity. And after they're lying there, you know, lifeless, the body cam, the police body cams, the footage shows the corpse still wearing a very nice watch. But then in a matter of minutes, a different body cam shows the same body without that watch. The watch, the very nice watch, very valuable watch, has mysteriously disappeared. Imagine you're a black guy growing up and seeing all of that stuff. That's all real things, by the way. Gonna have a read about Chris Caber. It's insane. Imagine you're a black guy seeing all that, right? And then one Jewish guy, one time, gets not even attacked by the police, but protected by them. Protected by a copper from walking into an area where it's possible he might get attacked. And then that gets hyped as racism. And it goes all the way up to the fucking Prime Minister. Like, I reckon there's some black dudes watching all of that, like, unfold. And they're like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, my mate got slammed against a wall so hard his back is all messed up and they won't give him compensation. And his brother got shot for looking like a gang member. And nobody says shit. And then this guy gets traffic copped to a safer route. And it's headline news racism. Really, the buck stops with the chief. Oh my god! Like, for real, like, you're gonna have black dudes from Peckham and Stretton, like, wearing yarmulks. Like the Jewish skull caps. Like, they're gonna start wearing it like they're a superpower. So they could walk around freely. There's gonna be coppers walking up to them going like, yeah, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Can I do a quick stop and search on you? Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I didn't see the hat on the button. Yeah, it's okay. On your way, sir. You're fine. So yeah, Rwanda got signed off. I think I've already ranted about that one on the midweek show, though. So let's move on to the next episode of Insanity, shall we? At St. George's Day kicked off in every sense of the word. Or phrase. Excuse me. Don't talk with your mouth full, Aid. For some weird reason, I thought I could talk with a mouth full of beer. Like, it's bad enough if you've got, like, a chick stick or French fries in your mouth and you're, you know, babbling away. Where did I think I picked up that skill from? So, yeah, we had St. George's Day, the annual celebrations of the Festival of St. Gammon, which provided the usual fun. I don't know if any of you have seen the footage of the St. George's Day. What do you even call it? A protest? Demonstration? Festive, like march, I guess. But it's one of those rare occasions, guys, where, like, do you ever see a riot, right, or a fight between very English St. George Cross wearing morons, right? They're over here. And then you've got the Metropolitan Police over here. And they're rioting and they're fighting. And you're just standing about, like, from a while away. You're like, St. George's Cross, thugs and riots. And then the Metropolitan Police, and they're all a bit ready. And it's one of these rare occasions where you just stand back, you go like, I honestly don't know who to root for. You know? I mean, on the one hand, you've got a collection of mostly racist thugs, right? Over here. And then on the other, you've got the St. George's Day fans over here. So it's, you know, I mean, I would have liked to have been there, though. I would have liked to have, you know, taken the day off, celebrated my country's day of the patron saint, or whatever you call it. I would have liked to have been just slightly removed from the action, though. You know, just slightly removed. With an ear to the exchanges, though. So I could still hear what they were saying to each other. The St. George's Day guys and the Metropolitan Police in the middle of this fight, in the middle of this riot. Because I reckon a few of them probably would have recognised each other. I reckon a few of them in their England flags and their England shirts would have been rearing up, right? Causing that disturbance. And then a few of the policemen, I reckon they would have been like, stand back. Stand back. I'm not going to tell you again. Stand back and calm yourselves down. And then I reckon, like, one of the 45-year-old England men with the St. George's, like, he would have been like, it's a free country. I love England, though. Dave, is that you? And the policeman would just be like, Gary, what are you doing here? Well, Sarah kicked me out again. So I'm staying at my mum's. I found this lot on Facebook. In the St. George's Day Forever group or whatever. Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, oh, no, I'm really happy for it. It's nice to have friends when you're a bit lonely, when you're going through changes, isn't it? And they'd be like, well, how long you been a copper? That's mad. Did we used to steal cars together? You're like, well, I didn't really want to become a copper, Gary, but I failed the vetting for Big Brother. So, you know, slim pickings after that. Anyway, look, this is getting a little bit long now, isn't it? Review of the news for the week. I tell you what, just very quickly, what else has happened? We'll quickly go through the other one, shall we? Grant Shapps announced that he and Sunak are going to spend 75 billion pounds on the military over a 5-year period that they are ferociously unlikely to be in power for. Which either means Sunak's wife is significantly richer than we thought, or Shapps is going to have to sell a few more get-rich-quick schemes to foot the bill. Because they say they're going to foot the bill by sacking 70,000 civil servants, which is actually like, I did the maths on this earlier, that is like closing 14 Gherkin buildings in London all at once. It's insane. Which might seem radical, guys. It might seem all Billy Big Bollocks, right? But that would actually only raise about £3 billion. So they're making £75 billion commitments with £3 billion of savings. And then, the following day, Labour announced they're planning to renationalise the rail network, to which the Tories then responded, oh, well, where's the money coming from? Like, it's just completely devoid of self-awareness. I've said it before, I'll say it again, a ZX Spectrum and Alexa or Siri, all of these things are going to develop self-awareness before these cunts. I promise you. I don't know. Like the Conservatives, man. The Conservatives questioning Labour on where the money's coming from. You know, the day after they've committed to spend £75 billion. I mean, that is like your super ethical liberal mate Coral, who can't go a Friday night without 3 grams of gack up her nose, right? Narcotic product that's come from villages in Colombia where they cut the relative's head off if you haven't made quota, if you haven't provided them enough sacks of coca leaves or whatever. That is like your liberal mate Coral in a kitchen with you on a Friday night and you happen to mention that you're in a Primark top, and then she's like, oh, you still buy Primark, do you? Really? Really? I mean, they're not exactly an ethical supplier, sweetie. You know, it's exactly like that. You fucking hypocrites. Finally, today in the news, shoplifting is exploding. Weinstein had his rape conviction overturned. I mean, he'd probably pass the Met vetting processes now, wouldn't he? And Boris Johnson, jizz alumni, Patronella Wyatt, published a piece in the Telegraph, which I love. It's my favourite paper. And Petronella's piece says, feminism has left women like me single and childless. Which, I mean, I don't want to speak too ill of the Telegraph's sterling editorial team, really unparalleled. But feminism has left women like me, Petronella Wyatt, single and childless. That feels to me like a typo may have crept out there. Feminism has left women like me single and childless. It's Boris Johnson, Petty. Boris Johnson has left women like me single and childless. Boris did that. Not feminism. Can't stress that enough, sweetheart. Right, let's get back to the live chat, shall we? Let's see what we're dealing with. So, the question tonight, guys, was, do you hold any hope? Do you think that there is actually a way out of the challenges that we face? Do you think, and this isn't really a criticism of Labour, do you think any party has it in them to solve the challenges, to meet the challenges, to rise to the moment? that we are cursed with at the moment. Let's have a look, shall we? I can't remember what time I actually asked the question when I was done blethering and babbling. Blue Badger says, when I was a kid in the 90s, I thought it was a slur against gay people. Shows how ill-informed on the subject we were and how harmful people were slandered. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? I don't know which one of the terms... The terms of terminology. Were we talking about the terminology that we contributed to the lexicon? Or was this something to do with, like... I'm trying to think what else I've said now. Can't keep track of my own slurs, clearly. Aid's starting to sound like the Principal Skinner meme. I knew there was a reason I rejoined Twitter this week, says Sarah Setters. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll go back and we'll check on the status of the hashtag in a second. If I had Twitter, I would, but not had one since I was 14. Oh, right. Okay, so this is me talking about the Twitter thing, and then after it was the second question, wasn't it? So, here we go. Paul Ewan says, I had to post it on Threads as I binned off Twitter last year. Fair enough. Fair enough. I think I've spoken before about my my disdain for Twitter, but it is, unfortunately, when you're in this game, when you do news, when you do content... it's sort of a necessary evil. I hope somebody buys it off Musk for like dirt cheap kind of... I hope it's a repeat of the MySpace Murdoch debacle. Anybody remember that? When Tom from MySpace sold MySpace to Rupert Murdoch for $500 million. Made obscene money. And then, I think it was within a year after that, it was, like, next to worthless. Like, the worst investment ever for Rupert Murdoch. Maybe second to hiring Tucker Carlson, considering that Tucker Carlson cost Rupert Murdoch about $1 billion. It's like either or, I guess. Good afternoon from Atlanta, Georgia, says Christine Cash. What's up, Christine? How you doing? Tweet executed, says Encore une fois. Good stuff, man. We'll check on that in a sec. Alex French says, I think Starmer and Reeves will give it a good go, but it's what money is left. I think that's probably, yeah, nail on the head there. I think, you know, we're dealing with a huge national debt. The interest payments on that have to be paid without us even chipping away at the debt. We still have to borrow more money. The economy's just not growing anywhere near quickly enough, and there's no discernible way to make it grow unless you invest hugely in the green economy or like new tech and coding. But then you get into this like weird pinch point of like rock and a hard place of like, if you invest in new technology, coding, AI and all that stuff, are you actually going to be taking away people's jobs through the machine learning and the AI? And then you actually, like, the growth starts to like lag a bit and gets more sluggish. Let's continue going. We'll just do a couple more. Kerry Dodd says, Starmer doesn't give a shit about making real change. The whole Labour front bench wants to continue Tory policies. I think this is where you and I differ, Kerry, because I know there's two camps of Labour supporters at the moment, where some of us think everything is actually a sort of ruse, and that's not a good thing because it's disingenuous, it's, you know, it's marketing is what it is, it's not staying true to your principles, etc, etc. But if it is a necessary evil to get Labour into power, and then once they're in power, then they're in a position to start rolling out more progressive policies, then I personally feel like, okay, well, if that's how it has to be to get the trains nationalised, to get the NHS the right funding that it needs, to get, you know, any other number of policies that we all want to see rolled out. But there is another tribe of people who are like, they don't trust Starmer at all. They're like, he's a red Tory. He's, you know, he's already classified himself as like, you know, the real conservatives and all of that. So I understand why people would fall into the latter. I suppose it's wishful thinking on my part that I hope it's the former. What else have we got? I think that's it actually at the moment for Oh, T-Rex has said, AIDS Patreon is now a prerequisite for being sectioned under the Mental Health Act. Yes, probably. Anyway, let's continue. So, I mean, I suppose where I am on this issue, like, do we have hope? Do we think we could fix the issues that we're faced with? I think where I'm at is if we found a really charismatic leader, you know, somebody with good intentions, who wasn't just in it to make a sack of cash, right, and sail off to their island while Rome burns, which I honestly think is the goal for all of the Liz Truss and the Kwartangs and the Trumps and so on. Like, I think they know, they're well briefed enough that we are toast. They know that. They're just like, well, if I play this role for a little bit longer, I can get enough if I can just get enough. You know, they're like, if I could just acquire enough wealth or gold or shares or stocks or something, it will keep myself and my family safe and sturdy while civilization collapses. I think that's the mindset. That is the true intentions behind most of these people. But if we could find a charismatic leader, you know, who could galvanize, who could negotiate with, you know, a Taiwan and a China and the Middle East and so on, to secure the raw materials that we need and the fossil fuels that we need for a bit while we transition to a green economy. You know, if we really kitted Britain out with renewables, panels, wind farms, sustainable living, then it's possible we could survive the incoming death sentences. You know, your hyperinflation, your pandemics, your fights and wars over those materials that might then result in a nuclear war, right? But here is the wild thing, right? As I'm saying all of that, here's the wild thing, is that if we could do all of that, that would just be Britain, wouldn't it? So really what I'm saying here is the best case scenario, which is still far-fetched as fuck, right? The best case scenario is that we survive in Britain, put on my St. George's cross and all of that, we survive because we're bloody warriors and amazing and Britain's the best, etc., etc. British exceptionalism. While the rest of the world descends into riots, wars, droughts, and murderous chaos, right? Which, when you think about it, is really just me speaking for Britain precisely the same way as a billionaire or Liz Truss or Trump would speak about themselves, isn't it? And so, am I any better than, you know, a Mark Zuckerberg hiding away in his little compound in Hawaii? Probably not. I'm basically the same as Mark Zuckerberg. Which is weirdly what I said in my last job interview. Anyway, so. Right, guys. Something a bit different now. We'll just quickly... Should we have a quick check on the... on the hashtag? Here we go. Let's have a quick check. Tories fuck livestock. Let's see how we're doing with Tories fuck livestock. We've got, oh, look, Funk27, that's a little bit old. Let's go to the latest. If you're pissed off with the usual compliant media shit on the morning shows, switch and subscribe to Aid Thompson's alternative paper review. It's quite funny. Thank you, man. Thank you, Largeland Larry. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. What lovely weather we're having, says Offer, Tories fuck livestock. I'll retweet a few of these. Here we go. Mark R says, Tories fuck livestock, fuck Tories. Richard Marston says, I heard it's because they have more nipples. I'm not sure what that means, but I'll give it a repost. Why not? And then it's me. And then, okay. I don't think we're going to hit trending. Yeah, but we'll come back to it. So, okay. So something a bit different now, guys. Quite excited about this. Sometimes I get accused, this will be difficult for you to believe, I know. Sometimes I get accused of being, you know, a little bit biased in my coverage. That I operate in a sort of, you know, a left-wing echo chamber cocoon. And all we ever discuss is our pre-agreed agendas. And so I thought this week might be time to reach out from the comfort zone and get a feel for how the rest of the country, the rest of the world, in fact, are viewing things. There's an election coming up in the US. There's an election coming up in the UK. I mean, everyone says it's a dead set certain that Labour are going to win it. It's going to be a landslide. But I don't know, you know, maybe this is just what we're all telling each other on Twitter and in our little echo chambers. So I thought two things, right? Let's try and get a sense for how things are in the real Britain, all right? The real America. Is it definitely going to be Labour? Is Trump definitely going down? I don't know. I just thought, in these days of fake news and biased newspapers and actually quite equally biased, you know, TV coverage sometimes, your GB News being the British Fox News, etc., etc., I thought I would do my research on that age-old, reliable source of truth, the internet. And so here are my findings, guys. Are you ready? Let's do this. Roll VT.
Who are you voting for in the general election? I have no clue. To be honest with you, I'm not even that political.
Who's the most repulsive politician in British history?
Patrick.
Margaret Thatcher.
If you could vote in the British election, guys, if you could vote in the British election, just say Booge. Oi, what are you saying? Who are you voting for in the election? Well, politics isn't for everyone.
Who are you voting for in the election? Jojo Siwa.
Just say Booge! It's one word, guys. Oi, sup, King? Who are you voting for in the general election?
I don't know if I am yet.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Who am I going to vote for? No matter who you vote for, you're screwed.
Who am I voting for? I have no idea, to be honest.
The tanning spray, juicy drops, which are tummy drops, peptide creme or peptide oil. Who are you voting for in the general election? I haven't thought about it. I've been working and sort of just taking care of myself, doing a lot of self-care, skincare.
Four letters! Maybe you could help. My friend has a really nice looking face. Skin, pigment, eyes. Is there a product I can buy to make my face look exactly the same as his?
My friend has a really nice looking face. Skin, pigment, eyes. Is there a product I can buy to make my face look the same as his? So it all depends upon...
I want my face to look exactly the same as my friend's.
And I start the full skincare routine.
If I was going to pick someone, it won't be Ricky Sunak, let's put it that way.
Oh man, I hate Ricky Sunak. Dude is the opposite of Booge. Hey, what were you munching on there, bro?
Just a sandwich.
Looks nice. Okay, should we get our own dictator, do you think? You know, maybe make a Prince Andrew our ruler or something?
I mean, don't get me wrong, with what Sunak's doing at the minute, let's just say he's doing a lot better job than Liz Truss did. But me personally myself, I haven't got opinion on this really, on the map, because I don't follow it, because I don't understand any of it. But with Prince Andrew at the minute, I don't know.
Oi, what's up, Yankee? If you could vote in the UK general election, who would you vote for?
I have no idea, because I don't live in the UK.
But if you did?
But if I did...
I mean, like, if you did, then could we, like, hang out and be best friends? Because I like knitting.
Could we hang out and best friends? I like knitting. I don't even know who you are, first of all. Maybe if we get to know each other a little better.
What if Labour got in power and gave everyone free sandwiches?
Just sandwich. Got in power and gave everyone free sandwiches. To be honest with you, bro, I don't think that's going to happen.
A Thompson's in the building.
All right, guys, if you could vote in the upcoming UK general election, who would you vote for?
I don't even know who I don't even know. You got to tell us who it is.
All right, you got the choice of the posh guys or the even posher guys.
Crystal, babe, are you going to be all right, girl? Look, you've been smoking and drinking.
What did you guys think? I like the kid with the sandwich. I thought he was a winner. I love the fact he actually considered it. Like, he didn't pretend that he knew everything, which I think is really refreshing for, like if you deal with content creators or, like, contributors for, like, news shows, it's like everyone pretends that they know everything. Everyone's got their pre-prepped, prepared lines, haven't they? Their gotchas, their slogans that they want to win at. That guy, he wasn't pretending that he knew it. He was like, well, you know, I don't really know a lot of it. I don't watch it. Like, I don't understand it. It's pretty complicated. But also, and then he really went pensive. He was like, with Prince Andrew, I don't know. Don't know. Not sure. But and the same with the sandwiches. He's like, I really don't know if they're going to do that, Aid. I think set your expectations at low. Anyway, so that's the first thing of me stepping outside my cocoon. I've got a second thing too. Are you excited? People often accuse me of being, you know, too biased, surrounding myself with people that just agree with me. So tonight we are stepping outside of that echo chamber. We are very fortunate tonight because joining me on the line is none other than Dr. Peter Dover from the secretly funded Tufton Street think tank. They're called the Institute of the Real Britain Alliance. Dr. Peter Dover, sorry, welcome.
Oh, no, please. Call me Peter.
Sure.
Call me
sure.
Peter. Or you know, some of my students do. You know, like the kids do these days. J-Lo and Robert Patterson is R-Pats, isn't he? Well, it's Peter Dover. So they call me P-Do.
Right. Right.
Jokers that they are. You know, they're young, aren't they? They're young. So you can't discipline them. Not really. Not really. No matter how much, no matter how badly you might want to.
Sure. Sure. I wanted to ask you tonight, Peter, as we've got many viewers in the live chat, many listeners on Spotify and Apple, a lot of your paid for, prepped, payrolled, quote-unquote, journalists have spent hundreds of hours on every BBC panel going, suggesting that if Labour get in, businesses will leave London, that the net zero thing is going to bankrupt Britain, that basically anything to the left of Hermann Göring is going to make baby Jesus cry. Do you honestly believe all of that?
Right, well, yes and no. Okay, yes, because that definitely will all happen.
Right.
No, I don't feel that way. I don't feel them. I don't feel anything ever.
And can I just ask, what are these predictions based on? What modelling are you using to get to these conclusions?
Right. Well, I'm sure you'll understand. I don't really want to go into the specifics of our modelling, and, you know, I don't want to expose that to our competitors. But what I can tell you is that the businesses that we have spoken to, Poles as they are absolutely packing their bags and moving to Europe.
Right. You don't think it's possible that they might have already been packing their bags for Europe because you got Brexit done and now running a business or corporation here is a fucking nightmare?
No.
I see. Okay. Well, can I just ask this then? As a person who sits on the right, as one of the hardest of Brexiters, as a person who said that Donald Trump was the most exciting thing to happen to America in 50 years, quote, as long as you're not Mexican, ha, 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 none of you better tell anyone that I said that or I'll really be for it.
Yes.
As a Trump supporter, as a Brexiter, if and when Labour do win the election, will you accept the result? You know, will you pack your bags? Will you stick around to show some patriotism for the country that you love?
Well, no. No, I think what you're about to see, if our studies are to be believed, and I am 100% certain they are true and accurate, I think what you're about to see is the next chapter in importing things from America. I mean, you saw how we imported anti-vax ideology You saw how we imported the culture wars from the United States. I think the next thing that you're about to see is us importing election denialism.
Oh, Christ.
Really? Oh, yes. Yes, we've already got the lines prepared, the slogans, the internet graphics to share around.
Don't you lot ever have a day off?
And join Work Shy Britain. Do me a favour.
So, you're seriously going to deny the election result after what's happened to Trump? After all that talk in 2016 of you lost, get over it?
Yeah, don't get it twisted, old boy. We absolutely can adopt a stance of you lost, get over it in 2016, and then only 8 years later go into complete election denialism.
Well, it's a bit hypocritical.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. You can't say you lost, get over it in 2016, and then say, oh yeah, we're all about election denialism now.
Don't tell me what I can and cannot say.
Oh my God.
Freedom of speech is sacred.
All right, pedo. I think we better leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
Well, there we go, guys. A quick scornful nod to those of you to those of you who have accused me of only ever speaking to people that I agree with. They're like, yeah. Turns out I do have right wing think tank lunatics on. I just have to, you know, make them up and play that part myself. So I win the argument and then I can make them look silly. I mean, some people call it cowardly. Some people call it a bit weird. I call it a weird way to spend my lunch break. That's what it was. Anyway, let's quickly go back. Let's check the trends, shall we? Let's see. Has it worked? I retweeted a few of them whilst you guys were watching Dr. Peter Dover there. I think we're way off. I'm going to be honest, guys. Look. Trending. Don Goodman, Everton, Arabian thingy. I think we're a way off trending somehow. I think, unless For You, that'd be funny. If it's, no, okay. I mean, look, I don't know the precise metrics for when Twitter grades something as a success. But I'm going to hazard an educated guess that it's probably more than 5. Doesn't mean I'm not grateful to those of you who have tweeted it. And maybe as more people are watching this, like you caught on to this late, you know, you're just sort of watching the last, like, or like you're on a 10-minute delay to the rest of us. Maybe it'll suddenly blow up. I don't know. But yeah, doesn't mean I'm not grateful. I absolutely am. But this hashtag needs more love and I need more validation. Let's dance. We're going to go for a quick bounce back to the chat also. And then we're going to have to wrap up, guys, because I think I'm due on Labour Social at 9 o'clock with Graham Hughes, whose face you may have seen sort of guest starring. What's it called when somebody has... Oh, it's a cameo, right? Cameoing in the... In the video just now, where I was saying like I basically want to have my friend's face, so we're gonna have a quick flick back through the chat. Let's do it. See what you guys are saying. Aid's been cruising the live streams and talking to these people, so we don't have to. Says Mojo Sabian. Yes, see, that's the sort of support and acknowledgement that I am looking for, Mojo. Sarah says, that was amazing. America's done. Yeah. Do you know what? I really like that guy. I like... He's got a really nice vibe to him. I love sort of happening across people who are a little bit punk rock, a bit rough around the edges. And he's got a good voice for radio. Like, he's obviously very American. Very bikery. You know, you can tell by his backdrop. It's like a... You know, his deal is like heavy metal or whatever. But he's interesting to listen to. I might see if he does, like, stuff quite frequently. Richard Marsden says we are doomed. Yes, you're probably right, Rich. I mean, what I took away from doing, like, visiting as a tourist some of those live streams, was it's amazing how many or how few people even are even thinking about politics at the moment. Most of them are like, there's a girl right at the beginning, she's just thinking about her battle rap. And then there's another guy, he's just doing a bit of a dance and he's talking about his sandwich. And then there's, you know, this other lady, she's a makeup artist and she's talking about like, oh, you know, and then I do this. I haven't really thought about... Nobody's talking or thinking about the election. We all are because we drink in bad news and politics and chaos every day. We're hooked on it like addicts. But for the rest of the country, who are presumably emotionally healthy, nobody really gives a shit. So... Anyway, it's been a really interesting episode for me. I hope you guys have found it interesting too. Thank you so much to everybody for joining in the live chat. Tracy Birch said pedo. Yes, you got the joke. Mojo Sabian says that was you in a wig. Yeah, okay, all right. Scotland Yard have solved that case as well. Sherlock Holmes has put that case to bed. The Metropolitan Police are racist, and also that was just Aid wearing a wig in the sketch. That's a terrible wig, says Tracy. All right. I think I've made it abundantly clear over the last few podcasts that I, you know, suffer from low self-worth. I don't need encouragement for that little devil on my shoulder. Darian D Star says Aid's Boris Johnson impersonation needs more work. Yeah. It does. But you know what? I'm happy to not resemble or sound like Boris Johnson, you know? If there was ever a good thing to be bad at, it's probably that. Let's just do a couple more comments. Richard Marsden says cameo, word up. Who else have we got? Anyone hear the rumours Sunak will announce the GE on Monday? Yes, I've heard a lot of that stuff. But you know what? They said a lot of that stuff about May, and I truly thought the election was going to happen in May. So now I'm just really like, you know, maybe he'll announce it on Monday. Probably not. It will happen when it happens, and then it will be a bloodbath. And I will go out and get incredibly wasted. I will not be on childcare duty that night. It'll be like, I was going to say it's like Christmas, but it's like every 4 years. It's even rarer and more special than Christmas. If ever you wanted evidence or something to smash cut, you know, edit down, evidence that I am not a Christian, there it is. I will celebrate the Tories being ousted from power more than Jesus Christ's fucking birthday. Guys, that's it for this one. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll be back next Tuesday or Wednesday with a solo show. I usually do an alternative paper review most mornings unless the kids are really like kicking off. And I'm back every Friday night, 7:30, live streaming to fuck, having a good time. It's a bit chaotic. It's a bit anarchic, but I love it. If you've enjoyed this show, do consider dropping a little tip in the tip cup. You can do a little super thanks. You tap the three dots. And if you're enjoying successive episodes of the podcast and the paper review and all that, maybe consider jumping on the Patreon, because we would love to have you. I'm about to jump in the Discord chat now, where I join all of my Patreons and my YouTube community members. That's it for now. Thank you so much. I'll speak to you all soon, no doubt. Cheerio.